This is the WBFO Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, joined by Bruce Andriatt, suburban editor of the Buffalo News. Hello, Bruce.
Hey, Mark. Happy holidays.
Same to you. Legislative action on the 2013 Erie County budget is complete. A coalition of five Republicans and one Democrat pushed through spending cuts that eliminated the tax increase that County Executive Mark Poloncarz had recommended in his proposed budget. Now, this was the county executive's first budget, and he was unable to get it through. What are the political ramifications for him?
Well, it's a common theme, you know, that getting any kind of tax increase passed at any level now is very difficult. Politically, it's very tough for somebody to say, I support a tax increase, because you know it's going to come back to haunt you. Whoever decides to run against Mark Poloncarz the next time is clearly going to use this against him. Mark Poloncarz wanted to raise your taxes. So politically for him, it's going to be tough. For the legislators who, you know, you can say work together a little bit on this, although I wouldn't say that it was, the reason for it is clearly also political, but they'll come out looking well in this. The county budget is one of those things that gets an awful lot of attention because it represents all of us. But as I often point out, it's a very small portion of what we pay in taxes. If our school budgets, for example, got the attention that the county budget got, that's where actually it should go, because that's where most of our money is going.
Poloncarz and the legislature Democrats say the budget is now out of balance. The Republicans say their changes will not send the county into another financial tailspin. Is the truth somewhere in between here?
I'm sure it is. It's not that long ago. I guess when I say that out loud, I realize that 2004 is ancient history to a lot of people. But the idea of going through something like that again, where we're closing parks and closing libraries and taking away the things that generate the kind of public outcry, I don't think anybody wants to see that again. But unfortunately, we're just going to have to wait and see. You know, budgeting is always, it's an imprecise science anyway, because you're basing it on your both your worst fears and your best hopes for the coming year. And, you know, if the economy continues to show signs of recovery, small though they may be, you know, maybe the Republicans and that one Democrat are right, and maybe the county will be okay.
It's interesting how at the state level and now at the county level that suburban Republicans, with the help of some renegade Democrats, are usurping what would normally be Democratic majorities in each case.
Yeah, the new bipartisanship, maybe, that people are crossing the aisle to hold on to the power that they have. It'll be interesting to see how that plays itself out, too. You know, historically in Albany, the Democrats and Republicans have been far apart on everything. Maybe it's a good sign that they can find common ground, even though, again, it's not for the most charitable purposes. They're trying to obtain and keep power. But if we can find reasons for people to come together, maybe on the whole, that's a good thing.
You wrote a very provocative column last week in which you suggest it may be time for the state to roll back its law that prohibits the use of cell phones in cars. You said the ban on texting should continue, but that people should be able to make phone calls. Explain your thinking here.
There was an article in the New York Times a couple years ago about how cars are becoming basically distraction machines. Everything in them is taking our attention away from what we're supposed to be doing. I use the analogy of a cockpit in the column, that there's so much to look at, so many things to do in a car that are legal, that are not regulated in any way. You know, people have six CD changers in their car, and there's nothing wrong with reaching into your glove box and pulling a few out, looking at them, changing CDs. To me, it's both talking on a cell phone is both an unenforced and an ignored law. And the idea that this is the one thing that we will tell people you can't do when, you know, you want to drink your 20-ounce cup of coffee and you want to change your radio station, all these other things are fine, strikes me as a little bit odd. The reality is that we're becoming more and more of a technologically needy society. People are using their phones all the time. The point of that column was simply to say that we need to acknowledge that these distractions exist and not do the politically expedient thing. Look, you know, nobody wants to be the person to say, I'm okay with using a cell phone. It's politically popular to say, yeah, look at those people. Why do they have to be on their cell phones? But the reality is that we are distracted by so many things. And on a cell phone, my argument has been, it's not the holding of it that takes our attention away. It's the fact that you're engaged in a conversation. And there's no law that says that you can't do that. You can have a Bluetooth. You can have a hands-free device. to me, that's just as distracting. And I guess I was trying to provoke a little thought about that. I have no real illusion that it's going to happen.
What has been the response?
It was actually sort of tepid. I mean, I heard from a couple people who said, yes, I've been saying this for years, and we need to kind of cut down on distracted driving in general. And, you know, the theme being, you know, people need to be educated that you need to focus on the driving, not on all the other things that come with your car. But I did get one of my, and these are always my favorite responses, a gentleman wrote to me and said, "Dear Bruce, I've never read your column before. I will never read another one again. You are an idiot." And that was it. So I thanked him and went on my way.
But you do have a point, because every trip I make in the car, I always see someone talking on the phone.
Oh, it's constant. And, you know, I've seen police cruisers pull up next to cars where people are on the phone, not to mention the fact that the police officer could be on the phone, although that is legal. But it's just – it's the kind of thing that people absolutely ignore. And I think part of the reason that they ignore it is because – the reality is it's not really more of a distraction than anything else in your car. As you said, texting is a completely different animal to me. Unless you can prove to me that somebody can use both their thumbs on a phone and send a text message while driving and not take their eyes off the road, until I hear that, I think that'll always be a hazardous activity.
Let's touch on a couple of other issues. First, delivery thefts in both Amherst and Tonawanda. What's happening here, especially during this holiday season?
And I'm sure that we all see this in our neighborhoods, that as online shopping has become such a huge part of the economy, more people are having packages delivered to their homes than ever. And if the delivery service, whether it's the Postal Service, UPS, or one of the smaller ones, if they can't find somebody at home, they will simply leave the package on your front step. And criminals, although they're often not the smartest people, know an opportunity when they see one. And we had a case in Amherst fairly recently where they were just simply following the delivery truck, watching the driver drop the package off, walking up to the porch and taking it. No break-in, no obvious, you know, strange activity, and they've, you know, achieved their theft. So it's what we're starting to see is delivery companies say, make some arrangements so that either you are there or you can tell us something to do so your package is not left right out in the open like that, not only for thieves but also for the elements. I mean, if this were a normal December right now, would you really want your, you know, $500 gift that you purchased sitting out on your porch getting covered with snow or rain?
Yeah. There was an article in the news in the past couple of weeks that really intrigued me because of the headline. It read, "Transition to Garbage Totes in Cheektowaga is Point of Contention." Now, before I read the article and found out what it was all about, my response was, really? These totes reduce litter from blowing garbage and they help keep rats away? You know, what's the downside here?
And as you saw, the downside was the fear that maybe employees had not been trained well enough, which has been, you know, there's a general fear of change that I understand, that it doesn't matter who you're talking about. And every time a community has considered going to totes, there have been a variety of things come up that, to be frank, I haven't understood. People will say, my mother is elderly. She's 85 years old. How is she going to be able to get this down the driveway in the winter? To which I've always said, how is she getting her can that didn't have wheels on it down the driveway in the winter? So people just, I think, automatically object to things. But this idea that people need to be trained, if you've watched the garbage trucks pick up the totes now, you roll them up to a pair of hydraulic arms, you place it on there, and the truck does all the work. If I were in a sanitation department, I'd be jumping for joy at the idea that I no longer have to grab these jagged metal cans full of God knows what, lift them over my head 1,000 times a day, and throw them back on the front lawn. So I think this is just an example of some people saying, we're not sure about this because this is change, but I think what we've seen, and as you pointed out, this has mostly been a change for the good all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, this is not rocket science here. So, well, Bruce, I wish you and your family a very happy holiday, and thanks for coming in as usual.
Thanks. Same to you, Mark.
Bruce Andriach is suburban editor of the Buffalo News. Mark Scott, WBFO News.